We'll begin tonight with a section in the Haggadah that starts Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LiYisrael. And we're talking about the promise of HaKadosh Baruch, the divine promise to the people of Israel. Obviously, that includes the Geula. And here, the Torah is quoted. Lasos Kmosha Omar Liavram Avinu Bibris Bein HaBesorim. So this section of the Haggadah has to take us back to the Bris Bein HaBesorim in Parshas Lech Lecha, Shenemar. And here, if you want to open up a Chumash, it would be Breishis Tesvav. And we'll start with Pasuk Yud Gimel. And I have a Chumash here. The Torah says, "Vayomer li Avraham yodoa teida ki ger yezaracha b'eretz lo lahem vavadum v'inu osam arba mil shana." Now let's just fast forward a little bit in the same parsha to Pasuk Yud Ches. "Vayomahu karas Hashem es Avram bris lemar." Lizaracha nasati es haoretz hazos minahar mitzrayim ad anahar agadol nahar pros. There's sort of like an opening to this parasha and a closing to the parasha. Bookends, if you will. And the opening to the parasha is a revelation to Avraham Avinu about the fact that Zaracha, your descendants, will be aliens in a foreign land. They'll be enslaved and afflicted. And the end of this parasha, also Lizaracha, is obviously a much more hopeful promise, a bris. And here the bris, the content of the bris is Lizaracha, again the word Lizaracha, Nasati es Eretz Hazos, the land of Eretz Yisrael. And Chazal understood that the opening of this parasha is setting a condition for the bris at the end of the parasha. It's what we call Habat Talia, it's interdependent. If and when Zaracha, your descendants, will suffer Gerus, Be'eretz Lo'lahem, Avdus, and Inui, then Hashem promises in the Bris, Lizaracha Nasati Es Ha'aretz Hazos. So the very powerful phenomenon here is that Gerus and all that's involved, Be'eretz Lo'lahem, is the precondition to make us into the Zaracha who will inherit the land. So the Avtoch of Lizaracha Nasati Es Ha'aretz depends upon Ger Yeh Zaracha. So the Kiyum HaBris of Lizaracha Etein Es Ha'aretz HaZos is dependent upon Lizaracha Ger Yeh Zaracha Be'eretz Lo Lehem. Now, the first question I want to ask you, which is in a sense a more technical question than maybe a philosophical question, but yet I think it's very important. And in fact, the Gemara itself is going to ask this question. Who is Zaracha? Hashem is addressing Avraham Avinu. So there's a sugi, if you want to make a note of it, in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, 59b. And the Gemara is analyzing a parsha a little bit later on in Lech Lecha, at the end of the parsha, which is the parsha of Bris Milah. And if we open up to Pasuk, to Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Tes, the Torah says, V'nasati l'chol azarecha acharecha es eretz megurecha, again, the divine promise to inherit the land, once again Lizaracha. And God says, V'ata, now I'm going to give you a bris, and that's the bris milah. Tishmar, you should observe this bris. And then it says, Ata v'zaracha achrecha l'dorosam, you and your descendants, for all generations. So there seems to be a connection here, direct connection between the bris and the promise to inherit the land, and the bris of milah. And in both cases, Avraham Avinu gets the command of Lizaracha. So the Gemara asks, Elameata, if this mitzvah bris, which Hashem says, as brisi tishmar tov v'zaracha achrecha l'dorosam, b'nei Yishmael, l'chaivu. Avraham Avinu had two children, two sons. He had Yishmael and he had Yitzchak. So to answer this question, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Parshas Vayera. So let's fast forward for a moment, if you have a chumash, to Perek Chav Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis. And there, the Torah says, Vayom Elokim el Avraham, Al Yera Beinecha al Anar, and he's talking about Yishmael, when Sarah insists that Avraham Avinu send Yishmael out of the house, and Al Yera Beinecha, why ki v'Yitzchak yikar alecha Zara? Through Yitzchak, your Zera will be called Zera. So the Gemara says, b'Yitzchak v'lo b'kol Yitzchak. To exclude one of Avraham's children, Yitzchak, to the exclusion of Yishmael. Ki b'Yitzchak yikar lechol zara, and not Yishmael. So there's a pasuk here that excludes Yishmael. Now, where does Esav fit into this? Yitzchak has two children. He's got Yaakov and Esav. We have a pasuk to exclude Yishmael in the first generation after Avraham. But we don't have a pasuk to exclude Esav. So the one who is aware of this question is the Rambam. We don't find it in the Gemara itself. The Rambam, in the 10th parak of Hilchas Melachim, writes the following. Yotza Esav. Why is Esav excluded? And the Rambam comes up with his own fascinating answer. And he tells us to again fast forward, if you will, to the end of Parshas Toldos, which is Breishis Chof Ches. And there, Yitzchak calls in his son Yaakov, and Mirzachem will go through parts of the parasha, and then he says to Yaakov, V'yitein lecha, Hashem will grant you as Birchas Avram, lecha ulezaracha itcha. And what is the content of Birchas Avram, which Yitzchak now bestows upon Yaakov, lecha lezaracha, lerishtecha es eretz megurecha? So Hashem had promised the land to the Zera of Avram. The Zera Avram is Yitzchak, to exclude Yishmael. And now, Yitzchak is transmitting that bracha that he received from Avram, who received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Lechol Lezarecha Lerishtecha Es Eretz Megurecha, that you, Yaakov Avinu, are now possessing this bracha. So the Rambam writes, Yotza Esav. Esav has no shaykhus to this bracha. Shari Yitzchak Omer LeYaakov V'yitein Lecha Es Birchas Avram Lecha Ulezaracha. Michlal Shehu Levado, meaning Yaakov exclusively, is Zaro Shel Avram. So we now know that Yitzchak is Zaro Shel Avram to the exclusion of Yishmael. And now we know that Yaakov is Zaro Shel Avram to the exclusion of Esav. So the Rambam sort of completes what we started with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, adding this important piece. So the Brisker Rav, in his commentary on the Torah Parshas Toldos, says the following. If we only had the pasuk ki be Yitzchak yikar lechol zora, which the Gemara interprets v'lo kol Yitzchak, we would not know which of the Zaro shel Yitzchak is considered Zer Avram. And Yaakov and Esav are both candidates that qualify to inherit the bracha of Avram. It's only at that moment that Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov the Birchas Avram, and he says to him, V'yitein lechaz Birchas Avram lechol zarecha, and he's addressing Yaakov. Then there was achra, says the Brisker, there was a decision, so to speak, made that within the generation of the children of Yitzchak, which of the children would inherit the Lazaracha bracha, the Lazaracha that was given to Avram? It would be Yaakov, and only Yaakov. He's called Zer Avram. And now, the Brisker Rav adds one line, which I'd like to embellish with you tonight, because I think it puts the Haggadah into a new perspective. Says the Brisker Rav, Be'oseh Shah, what happened at that moment, in that ma'amad, in which Yaakov is receiving the bracha, the Birchas Avram from Yitzchak, something else happens, which I want to read to you in the Chumash, and that is, says the Brisker Rav, Be'oseh Shah Tziva Yitzchak LeYaakov Shlo Yikach Isha Mibnos Kenan. In other words, since you are the heir and the sole heir of Birchas Avram, therefore, be very careful. You're not allowed to marry any of the Bnos Kenan. So let's read the Psukim for a moment inside and see if we can get a little bit of a grasp on what we think the Brisker Rav is saying over here. We're in Perek Chaf Ches, the very end of Toldos. And it says the following. At the very beginning of this parsha, Yitzchak commands Yaakov Avinu not to marry Mibnos Kenan. Vayitzaveu, the pasuk says, Vayomer lo, Yitzchak says to Yaakov, Lo tikach isha Mibnos Kenan. Fine. Then in pasuk Beis, Kum Lech Padena Aram, Yitzchak sends Yaakov to Padan Aram, Besa Besuel Achi Avi Imecha, Vekach Lecha Misham Isha Mibnos Lavan, etc., etc. So already in Pasuk Beis, at the very beginning of this chapter, of this episode, Yitzchak sends Yaakov Padan Aram to find a marriage partner. And then, if you fast forward three psukim to pasuk hey, it says Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov Vayelech Paden Aram. Yitzchak sent Yaakov Paden Aram. It doesn't make any sense, because already in pasuk beis, Yitzchak had said to Yaakov, Kum Lech Paden Aram. He'd already sent him on this shlichus to Paden Aram to find a marriage partner. Why would the Torah repeat itself within a unit of five psukim? So I think what we need to do here is we have to read what happened between the first pasuk and the last pasuk. And it says in pasuk Dalit, "V'yitein lecha es birkas Avram lecha ulezarecha itach lerish lecha es eretz megurecha." So in between the opening of this parsha and the actual Vayishlach, Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov the Birchas Avram. Okay. So we want to reiterate the question that we're asking. Why does the Torah repeat twice that Yitzchak sends Yaakov to Paden Aram? And perhaps the answer is in this bracha of the Birchas Avram. Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov the Birchas Avram. At the beginning of this parasha, Perek of Ches, Yitzchak is telling Yaakov that I want to bestow upon you the Birchas Avram. But it's conditional. It's not automatic. You know what? Your brother, Esav, is also a candidate for Birchas Avram. Because at this point, before Yitzchak actually bestows the bracha on Yaakov, all we have is an exclusion of Yishmael. We don't have an exclusion of Esav, as we saw in the Brisker Rav. So the exclusion of Esav, which means that the Birchas Avram and the Eretz Yisrael promise that Bris is Lazarachah through Yaakov to the exclusion of Esav, that's only going to go into force after Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov the Bracha, the Birchas Avram. Up until that moment, Esav is, shall we say, an equal partner. He's an equal candidate. So Yitzchak now turns to Yaakov and he says, look, if you want to be the chosen Zer Avram, then you have to fulfill the following condition. And this is the opening part of Perek Chav Ches. First of all, don't marry a girl from Bnos Knan. That's condition number one. Condition number two, Kum Lech Padena Aram. And then, as we'll see, Yitzchak in the next pasuk bestows the Birchas Avram on Yaakov. V'yitein lecha es Birchas Avram. What is the condition here that has to be fulfilled by Yaakov Avinu in order for him to receive the brachos? Obviously, he's got to be part of the continuation, the generations, the genealogy. He's got to marry from Paddan Aram, and it's going to be Rachel and Leah. That's number one. But number two, it's the Kum Lech Padena Aram, in which Yitzchak is telling Yaakov he's got to go into Golos. He's got to leave Eretz Yisrael. Because although HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised Avram Lizarecha Etein Es Haaretz Hazos, but there was a precondition in that blessing, in that bris, and that was Ger Yeh Zarecha B'Eretz Lo'olam. If your children, Avram, will be aliens in an alien land, then your children will inherit, and through the bris, the land of Eretz Yisrael. So when the Baal HaGadah tells us, Baruch Shomer after Chosel Yisrael, Lasos Kemosha Amar Li Avram Bibris Bein Rasorim, and the Baal HaGadah, instead of quoting Pasuk Yud Ches that we saw, where the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kori's priest, he says, Vayomer Li Avram Yodo Ateda Ki Ger Yezarecha. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Modia, it's a prophecy, and he's notifying Avram that his descendants, his Zarecha, will be Gerim B'Eretz Lo'olam. But moreover, he's setting up a precondition for Lizarecha Etein Es Haaretz Hazos. And Yitzchak is now transmitting that precondition to Yaakov. And he's saying, Yaakov, if you want the Birchas Avram, you have to be ready now to go into Golos, to be a ger be'eretz lo lehem, kum lech paden Aram. Pack your bags. And your experience in base love on, again, this is just a footnote, is not going to be a very pleasant experience. And we're going to try to develop this a little bit more and flesh it out. That Yaakov Avinu really, really gets a very bitter taste in Padan Aram of Gerus, of Golus, of Ger Yezaracha. Now, the moment that Yaakov Avinu understands the conditions and accepts them, then Yitzchak, here in Pasuk Dalet, V'yitein lecha es birchas Avram lecha lezarachrecha, l'rishta, l'rishtecha es ha'eretz megurecha. Now we're going to exclude Esav, because you, Yaakov Avinu, are going to take upon yourself this experience of Gerus. You are going to fulfill the condition for lezarecha etein esaretz hazos, and now I will bestow upon you this bracha of Avram Avinu, because that bracha of Avram Avinu for Eretz Yisrael Zaracha was conditional on Ger Yeh Zaracha b'Eretz Lo Lehem. Now we're up to Pasuk Hey. Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov vayelech paden Aram. Now it's very interesting. No mention in this Pasuk of getting married. At the beginning of the parasha, Yitzchak says to Yaakov, "Kum lech paden Aram v'kach lecha isha mibnos Lavan." In pasuk Hey, Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov vayelech paden Aram, and it doesn't say anything about marrying a girl in Beis Lavan, in Beis Besuel, in paden Aram, because now Yaakov Avin is being sent by his father Yitzchak to fulfill the Ger Yeh Zaracha condition, B'Eretz Lo Lehem. Now Yaakov Avinu is being sent for a totally different shlichus. The original shlichus, Kum Lech Paden Aram, at the beginning of this parasha, that was in order to guarantee that Yaakov Avinu would marry the right marriage partner, one that would be suitable for Yaakov, and not Benos Knaan. But the second time that Yitzchak sends Yaakov Avinu, here the shlichus is not to marry the right marriage partner, but simply to experience Gerus B'Eretz Lo Lehem. And therefore, Vayishlach Yitzchak es Yaakov Vayelech Paden Aram. It's not a shlichus for the purpose of marriage, like the one that was mentioned at the beginning in Pasuk Aleph, but rather Yaakov is being sent into Golus to fulfill the condition of Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yezaracha B'Eretz Lo Lehem. And through that experience of Gerus, there will be a possibility that Yaakov Avinu now will see the fulfillment of the divine promise of Lezaracha Nasati Yezaretz Hazos. Now the truth is that I believe that the original condition of Ger Yeh Zaracha that was given to Avram Avinu in Parshas Lech Lecha on the Bris Bein Abesorim could have been fulfilled in Yitzchak himself. But Chazal say that Yitzchak was an Ola Tmima, and after the Akedah, he could not go to Chutz Laaretz like a Korban Ola. But otherwise, if not for the Iser of Yitzchak Me'eretz Yisrael with regard to Yitzchak, Yitzchak could have gone into Golos, into Gerus, and have begun the process of the fulfillment of the condition that was stipulated to Avram Avinu of Ger Yeh Zaracha. Now, I'd like to add one other point here. In the very next pasuk here, at the end of Parashas Toldos, that's pasuk Vav, it says, Vayar Esav, ki verech Yitzchak es Yaakov, v'shilech oso paden Aram. What is the Torah emphasizing here? That Esav understood that Yaakov had bestowed upon his brother Yaakov the bracha. At this point, not only did Yaakov understand that he was the chosen Lizaracha, but even Esav himself realized it. He saw that the bracha was now being bestowed upon Yaakov. Vayar Esav kiberet Yitzchak es Yaakov, v'shilach oso paden Aram. Esav understood now, he appreciated that Yaakov is being chosen as the Zera Avram, he's being sent into Gerus in Paddan Aram, and now it would be the Zera of Yaakov Avinu who would inherit the land of Israel. And if you look in the next parasha, no, not the next parasha, but two parashas later, in parashas Vayishlach, so there you'll see Vayeshev Bayomahu Esav, it says Darko Seira. And the Torah goes out of its way to emphasize in Parshas Vayishlach that Yaakov comes back to Eretz Knan after he leaves Beis Lavan. He meets Esav in that very famous encounter. And the Pasuk testifies that on that day, Esav turns to Seira. In other words, Esav at that point, we would have anticipated, if you know modern contemporary history, he would have put a claim. How is Yaakov coming back to the land of Eretz Canaan? I want the land of Eretz Canaan. I want to inherit that great bris, that great promise, divine promise of the bris of Lizaracha Etenes Aretz Hazos. And apparently Esav himself appreciated that he was now being excluded from that bracha. And therefore he turns to our Seir and passively accepts the Yaakov's return to Eretz Canaan. And perhaps I can share with you an insight of my Rebbe that might possibly intertwine with what we've been saying. Rashi, at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev Yaakov b'eretz megurei aviv b'eretz Knan. Rashi says, b'kesh, the Medrash, b'kesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. And Yaakov asked for solace, for comfort, for security. Finally, there'd be some peace in his life. And kofatz olav rogzo shel Yosef. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about this medrash. Every human being, he said, aspires to shalva in his life. Why does Yaakov deserve such a punishment? And the answer is, says Rav Soloveitchik, that as far as Ger Yeh Zarecha B'Eretz Lo Lahem, it doesn't mention Mitzrayim. Nowhere in the context of the Bris Bein HaBesorim does Hashem explicitly single out Mitzrayim. It just says B'Eretz Lo Lahem. Now Yaakov Avinu was in Gerus. He was in Paddan Aram. He spent more than two decades there in the Beis Lavan. So Yaakov said, hey, the Tanai itself was already fulfilled. I'm Zaracha, and I was Ger B'Eretz Lo Lahem. Ayolesi Akasha, he wasn't there for 400 years, but even the Jewish people were not there 400 years. And Chazal said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz, and he considered a shorter period of Gerus to be a fulfillment of the original promise of 400 years, probably because the Jews suffered so intensely during that period of 2 centuries plus, that God said that was like the suffering of 4 centuries. So Yaakov comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, look, I've been suffering, I've been afflicted, I've been persecuted by Lavan. Why not consider that a kiyum of the bris? And b'kesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva means I want to stay here in Eretz Canaan b'shalva. This is the time of Mashiach, so to speak. This is the time of the ultimate fulfillment of Lezarecha etein lecha sa'aretz hazos. And what does God respond to? Ein achinam. You're absolutely right. You should now return to Eretz Canaan and immediately inherit the land. And your bakasha leishev b'shalva should be fulfilled. But there's only one problem. Mechiras Yosef. And Mechiras Yosef changes the entire course of history. What would have been, at that moment in time, a final fulfillment of the Tanai of Geria Zaracha, and now that Kadosh Baruch Hu's bris would be fulfilled, the people of Israel would inherit the land for all posterity. Now something comes, and we call it the Jewish zigzag of Jewish history, and that's Mechiras Yosef, the terrible chet of Mechiras Yosef, which as a result, the avtocha of Eretz Yisrael to Bnei Yaakov would be delayed for many, many, many centuries. They would go down to Mitzrayim, which didn't have to be the Eretz Lo-Lahem, but now it would be the Eretz Lo-Lahem as a result of Mechiras Yosef, who goes down to Mitzrayim, and then the Gerus and the Avdus and the Inui that was promised to the Bnei Yisrael as a precondition for Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be fulfilled in Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the Eretz Lo-Lahem, and all this is a result of the chet of Mechiras Yosef. And this, I believe, really sheds a whole new light on Baruch Shomer after Chassel Yisrael, Geri Yezaracha B'Eretz Lolahem. Now, for those who were here with me last night, we began to study the Rambam in Perek Zayin, Mihilchas Chometz Umatzah. And the Rambam dedicates three halachas, which we went through pretty thoroughly. I'm not going to review that now, in which the Rambam defines the nature and the scope of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I would like to go on to Halacha Dalet in that same chapter. The Rambam says, and he adds another very important condition to the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he says, V'tzorech lahaschil bignus ulesayim b'shvach. We'll get back to the Rambam in just a minute, but that's the Lashon of the Rambam. Lahaschil Bignus. Now, in the Seder Haggadah, immediately after Baruch Shomer, after Chassel Yisrael, and Kiger Yezarecha B'Eretz Lo-Lahem, we immediately have Arami Oved Avi, which is a parsha in Kitavo at the end of Sefer Dvarim, and a Malbim on Chumash in Vayikra Chavav on this pasuk Arami Oved Avi. It says, "Kemosha Kosvu Chazal." Excuse me, Maschil Bignus Umesayim Veshvach. That Arami Oved Avi, reading that parasha, is the fulfillment of Maschil Bignus. I didn't get it. So the Malbim continues. And he says the following. Pirish, She Yisaper Hascholas HaGolus. Maschil Bignus, the word Gnus means Golus. We can't talk about the Geula until first we talk about the Golus. And where is the Golus? And why is it so important to speak about the Golus? Zakhtim Albim, Amar Hashem Li Avram, in the previous paragraph in the Haggadah, Bibris Beidam Sarm Ki Ger Yezarecha Bi Eretz Lo Lahem. So Hashem says to Avram Avinu, there's going to be Gerus. And he says the following, the Malbim. V'hine, Ger Yezarecha Hischil Miyad Shenolad Yitzchak. Why is that so? Ki Avram v'Yitzchak are you garim, are you gerim, b'eretz plishtim. Avala gerus shal Avram v'Yitzchak lo haisabem shum gnus. We cannot speak about the alien status of Avram Avinu in Eretz Plishtim as a kiyum of this precondition of Ger Yezarecha. And why is that? Kilis Kablu b'makom migurosam b'kovid gadol, says the Malbim. They were received and looked up to by the locals in that land. Aval v'avadum, in other words, that Hashem promises Avram Ger Yezarecha v'avadum v'eretz lo lehem, Hischil miYaakov, that begins with Yaakov. Now the Gerus is a Gerus of Avdus. Sha'avad es Lavan, because he served as a slave in the house of Lavan, v'zeu gnus. And that's what it means, maschil b'gnus, because this is the beginning of the fulfillment of the promise and the prophecy that was given by God to Avram Avinu, that l'zarecha etenis haaretz. But why? Because ger yezarecha and v'avadum. And that ger yezarecha is the gerus of avdus. The gerus of avdus, which is the beginning of the fulfillment of this precondition, coincides with Yaakov Avinu going to Beis Lavan, which is a beautiful, I believe, support for everything we've been saying tonight. That Yaakov Avinu is given the brachos of Yitzchak, of Avram by Yitzchak, but only under the condition that he goes into Gerus. Because then if he's Lazarach as far as Gerus, then he's Lazarach as far as Etein Lechasa Aretz. And we say that Yaakov thought, when he came back from Padan Aram, that the fulfillment of the condition had already achieved its goal, because he suffered so under the hands of Lavan, and therefore Bikesh Yaakov Leishi V'Shalva, the fulfillment, the ultimate fulfillment of Lezarech Etenis Haaretz Hazos. And I think the Malbim is giving us further support that the beginning of this condition of Ger Yezarech Avadum is when Yaakov Avinu goes down to Beis Lavan, and that's called Maschil Bignus. That's the Gerus of Ki Ger Yezarech that was mentioned in the previous section in the Haggadah. Then the Malbim adds, and what's Arami Oved Avi? Oved, he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, a pasuk in Tehillim, he quotes psukim to prove that the word Oved Pirush Noded, a nomad. So when we say Arami Oved, then you add a comma Avi. Avi is referring to our father, our forefather Yaakov. He's called the Arami because he goes to Aram and Oved. And in Aram, he's a Noded. Kvoshe Kasuv Tzon Ovdos Hoyu Ami. And Apostle Gentilim, Ta'isi Kiseh Oved. So it means that Yaakov Avinu in Beis Lavan, where he's called the Arami, is an Oved. He's just lost. And why is he a nomad that's lost? Because he is fulfilling the Gerus. This is the beginning of Maschil Bignus, of the fulfillment of Ger Yezarecha V'Avadum. And now we understand why the Baal Haggadah brings these two paragraphs contiguous one to the other. He starts with the promise to Avram Avinu of Ger Yezarecha, and then immediately quotes the Pasuk Arami Oved Avi, which is the beginning of the reading of the parsha that we have to read on this night to fulfill Maschil Bignus, because Maschil Bignus means the Gerus that fulfills the condition of Ki Ger Yezarecha. And the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just on the Avdus that our forefathers suffered and experienced in Mitzrayim for a long period of Avdus, which is certainly the Kiyum of Tanai of Ki Ger Yezarecha, but even the Avdus of Yaakov Avinu is already in Beis Lavan, is already the Kiyum of Tanai of Ki Ger Yezarecha. And this is a whole new pshat in Arami Oved Avi. I mean, we assume that the Arami is a reference to Lavan Arami. Oved Avi, Chazal say, he wanted to destroy Yaakov and therefore destroy the whole Jewish people, but not according to the Malbim. The Malbim says Arami is a reference to Yaakov in Aram, He's the Oved. He has no permanent place there. He's just going to be subjugated. And it's Avdus. And that's Yaakov Avinu. And that's the beginning of Maschil B'Gnus. That's the kickoff of the Gerus that was explained, that was prophesied to Avram Avinu of Kiger Yezaracha. And I just want to add here, Rabbeinu Bechaye, in his commentary on Arami Ovid Avi, he says, Karol Yaakov Arami, way before the Malbim, like 1,000 years before the Malbim, almost. I'm exaggerating, but not by much. Then who's the Arami? It's Yaakov. Vishira Kosuv, here's how you have to read the Pasuk, says Rabbeinu Bechaye, Arami Shahoya Avi, the Arami who is my father. We're not referring to Lavan, no way. Ubir Oved, what does the word Oved mean? Ani, a poor person. So we could suggest that according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, the Maschil B'Gnus, which is kicked off by the recitation of this parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, is Anius, is poverty. So we think that the poverty of the Jewish people began in Mitzrayim. Oh no. It began back at the time of Yaakov Avinu in Eretz Aram when he's in the under the control of Lavan Avinu. Of Lavan. Again, at the end of the parasha, Yaakov walks out there very rich, but not for all the years that he worked for Lavan. So the Tanayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a condition with Avram Avinu, the Brisbane of Absarim, Ki Ger Yazaracha, according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, begins to be fulfilled through the Anius, the poverty of Yaakov. So it's again a different, slightly variation of what we saw in the Malbim. In the Malbim, the Gerus began with Yaakov Avinu and Lavan because of the Avdus. It's a Gerushal Avdus. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Bechaye's perspective, it's a Gerus of Anius, of poverty. I mean, Rabosa, if that doesn't shed a whole new light on our God, I don't know what would. So that's the best I can do for you. Let's go back to the Rambam. Tzarech lahaschil b'gnus ulesayim b'shvach. Umodiyah sh'avodim ayinu b'lfaro b'mitzrayim. V'chol ara'o sh'gmolonu. Umesayim b'nisim v'niflos sh'nasu lonu u'bibchiraseinu. All the great miracles and the choice of the nation of Israel. Says the Rambam, how do you begin this mitzvah, which is so critical to Tzipi Yetzis Mitzrayim of Lahaskel B'Gnus, V'hu sheyidrosh me'arami oved avi at sheyigmar kol ha'parsha. V'chol ha'mosif u'marech b'drash parsha zu harei zu meshubach. Harei zu meshubach. And this is the Rambam's codification of the Mishnah at the end of Psachim. If you open up to Psachim Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, the Rambam adds something that it doesn't say in the Mishnah. And the Rambam says, V'hu sheyidrosh es ha'parsha. Now, it's not just enough that you read the parsha, which is the misimpression you might get from reading the Mishnah, but the Rambam says, no, you have to darshin the parsha. Which basically means that it's not enough to achieve or implement what we call Kriyas Torah Shebichsav, but you also have to embellish it with Torah Shebalpeh. And those are all the drushes that we have recorded in our Haggadah for the parish of Arami Ovid Ovi. But before we get to discuss this concept of Doresh Es HaParasha, I want to ask the following. Chazal understood that Vigadat Olabincha requires Maschil B'Gnus U'Mesayim B'Shvach. Who told Chazal, how did they know that the Torah is asking us to read the parsha of Arami Ovid Avi? What's the source for that? From whence did the Chazal derive that? And this is such a critical part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sipur Yetzis Mitzrayim. The Rambam says, Sorach lahaskel b'gnus ulesayim b'shvach. And the Rambam says, how do you do that? Sheyidrosh me'arami ovid avi. What's the source for such a thing? Now, I want to again share with you something from my Rebbe, from the Rav, but first, I want to quote to you a sefer called the Otzer HaGaonim on Psachim. It's a very important sefer. It's an anthology of the insights of the Gaonim even before the Rishonim. And he writes at the end of the Masechta Psachim, Yesh Mefarshim Haggadah, why do we call this a Haggadah? Hu Lashon Hoda'a V'Shvach. Interesting. Haggadah in Lashon Kodesh, according to the Gaonim, is Lashon Hoda'a, to thank Hashem, Shvach, and praise Hashem. Al Shotzei Sonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And how did the Gaonim know such a thing? Kimoshe Mitargim B'Yushalmi, we have a Targum Yushalmi on the Torah. He got it to Hayom Lashem Elokecha. Again, the word Agada in the Torah itself says the Targum Shvachis Biyomedin. Day meaning this day. He got it to Hayom Lashem, Hayom on this day, Shvachis Lashem. I recite the praise of God on this day. That's called Agada. So Agada means praise of God. So the Rav says the following. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is generated twice a year in two different zmanim. One is when a person brings his first fruits, the Bikurim, to the Beis HaMikdash. And secondly, on the night of the 15th of Nisan. How does the Rav know such a thing? He says, let's read the language of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam, when he calculates the mitzvos and defines them, he's got one mitzvah for Mikra Bikurim, to read the parash of Arami Ovid Ovi, and he has another mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The first mitzvah, if you want to make a note of it, is Kuf Lamed Beis. 132. And I'll quote to you the language of the Rambam. Shetzivanu lesaper tovosov asher heitiv lanu v'itzilanu umaskil binyan Yaakov avinu umesayim bavodas hamitzriyim v'anusam osanu uleshabcho al kol zeh. Mitzvah Kuf Lamed Beis. That's the mitzvah of Havas Bikur. Now listen to the language of the Rambam in Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, 157. That's almost 20 mitzvahs later. And this is the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil Tesvav. Shetzivanu Lesaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamishah B'Nisan Lahodos Loho. Again, almost word for word, the same language. Al kol atov shekvalanu. So again, in the first case of Mikra Bikurim, lesaper tovosov al asher hitiv lanu, v'itzilanu, and we speak about Avdus Mitzrayim, and so forth and so on. And here, the same language, lesaper v'itzitzrayim lahodos lo al kol atov shekvalanu. Says Rav Soloveitchik, the essence of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on two occasions is Hodoya Lashem, to recognize and appreciate the thanks to Hashem al Atov for all the good He bestowed to us. He took us out of Avdus in Mitzrayim, He brought us into Cherus. Imagine a person brings his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash and he expresses his gratitude to Hashem, because he was matzliach to produce these fruits from the land, from the Holy Land of Israel. So he declares that his success as a farmer was not a matter of accident. It didn't just happen. It's not only a product of his own labor, but it's a result of an entire hishtalshelus of events that are supernatural, that began with Yaakov Avinu, continued in Mitzrayim until the Gula Mitzrayim. That's the reason I'm able to bring these fruits. And in a similar way, Chazal understood that on the night of Pesach, when we have to appreciate and express our gratitude for the Yad Hashem, not in the creation of fruits, but in the creation of Klal Yisrael. Because what emerged out of Mitzrayim was Klal Yisrael. And we go back to the story of our Avos, all the way back to Yaakov, to trace the whole history until we reach the Geula, the redemption of Mitzrayim, to express our gratitude for creating this nation. But there's only one problem. The Torah doesn't tell us exactly how to fulfill this mitzvah of Sipritz Yisrayim Alel Tesvav. So Rav Soloveitchik says that we have a principle in Halacha called Yalfinan Hasosum Min HaMefurash. We derive that which is sosum, which is undefined and ambiguous, from that which is explicit. So in the case where I have to express Hakaras HaTov for my brand new fruits that grew in my field, so how do I fulfill that mitzvah of Hakaras of Hodah? By reciting the parasha of Arami Oved Avi. That's called Mikra Bikurim. Now, in the case again, where I have to, on the night of the Geula, express my Hakaras HaTov and praise Hashem for creating this nation, how do I do so? The answer is, we'll do it in the first case of Hodah and Sipritis Mitzrayim, exactly as we do it in Mikra Bikurim. That's how we're going to do it on the night of Pesach. And that's called Yalfinon Sosum Min HaMefurash. Unbelievable Chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik. Now, the Rambam says, V'doresh es HaParsha. Well, I don't get it. If we're deriving it from Mikra Bikurim, in Mikra Bikurim, we never found the halacha of Doresh as a parasha. The Mevius HaBikurim has to read the parasha, recite it, and Gandik, that's finito. Why here on this night, the Rambam requires Doresh as a parasha, and the Rambam even goes as far as to say, they call a Mosif, U Doresh as a parasha as a Rezim Meshubach. Call a Mosif, U Marech Bedrash parasha as a Rezim Meshubach. So again, Rav Soloveitchik says an amazing chiddush, and we touched on it yesterday. What is v'igadeta l'bincha? Well, you might say, teach Torah to your son and read the parsha. That's called Torah shebichsav. Nay, that's not enough. We have to interpret the Torah shebichsav, otherwise we're not teaching the Torah. And that's called being doresh the parsha. That's called utilizing the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidreshes Bahen, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. And here the Rav used to quote again the Gaonim. Unbelievable. The Otzer HaGodim HaPsochim Nishal Meriv Natroi Goen. The following question came up to Rav Natroi Goen. Mishin Noeg Likros Arami Oved Avi, on the night of Pesach, he reads the Parsha, Psukim kimot shehem, v'eino omer midrash klal. In other words, the question was asked to one of the Gaonim, can someone fulfill this mitzvah by simply reading the psukim? Heshiv hagon shelo yatza yidei chovaso. And moreover, he says, harei uchoshid b'aynai lios me'osa kat shel aminim HaKofrim v'Torah Shebaal Peh. He suspected that this individual who has such a minog of leaving out the drash, he's a kofer. He belongs to the tztukim. He doesn't mention the tztukim. But then later it was the karoim, you know, who denied Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, the mitzvah of Sipritz Yisrayim generates a chiyuv not just to read the psukim, kriyas Torah Shebaal, but also to interpret the psukim through the eyes and the principles of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's v'igadeta. If you don't have that extra element of Torah Shebaal Peh, maybe you're a tzduki. Now look at this pasuk, a very famous pasuk in Shmos Yud Tes. Ko tomar lebeis Yaakov, v'tagid lebnei Yisrael. So you look at the Targum Yerushalmi. What is the word v'tagid l'bnei Yisrael? The Yerushalmi says v'tisne ulpin l'knishton v'bnei Yisrael. Tisne is miloshon limud. Ulpin is a base medrash. So the mitzvah v'igadeta then, according to this interpretation of v'tagid l'bnei Yisrael, generates a mitzvah to read Torah Shemichsav. And again, we learn from Mikra Bikurim that it means the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi. But it's not enough to read the parasha, you have to learn the parasha. Learning the parasha requires Torah Shebal Peh. And that means Vahush, in the language of the Rambam, Vahush Yidrosh, Es HaParsha Azos. So the Torah, the Limud Torah that we spoke about yesterday, that this night of Tesvav is a night of Talmud Torah, that is a full, perfect, all-inclusive mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. And Talmud Torah means Torah Shebichsav integrated with Torah Shebal Peh, and that's darshaning this parsha of Arami Ovidot. It's a package deal that consists of not only the recitation of Torah Shebichsav, but the interpretation of Torah Shebichsav based on Torah Shebal Peh. And that's what we have here. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and I prepared another piece. And the question is, if you have the time. Now, I see someone here by the name of Chaim. And there's no camera here. So I'm suspicious that maybe, I don't know where I'm getting this idea from, but maybe that's my good friend Chaim Besson. I don't know. No answer. So I'm not sure if he hears me. Roni, what do you think? You think it might be Chaim Besson?
Hi, Rabbi, it's Chaim. I'm here.
Hey, how do you like that? Okay.
I just don't have a camera on this computer.
That's all right. Chaim, the reason I suspect it is not just because I see Mikey and Roni, but also who spells Chaim with an H?
Exactly. One of a kind.
It's a dead giveaway. Okay. So, I will say great to see you, or even greater to learn Torah with you. Now I have somebody here called A.A. Maybe that's Aaron Attar, maybe, I don't know, who was with us yesterday. And, there's Aaron. And who is 99? David, we know who 99 is from the past, but can you remind me? Okay. So Rabosai, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. Anyone who has to go, please don't feel in any way inhibited about just pressing that red button with the phone in it and closing out. But for anyone who wants to spend another, let's say, 10 minutes, my next section has three parts to it, so I'll give you the first of the three. I want to talk to you about Avodim Ayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. And what is Avdus? Now, by way of introduction, I have to tell you that in the Shiurim that I attended for about 5 years, Rav Soloveitchik would not allow any philosophy in the Shiur. I still remember to this day, there was a young man in the Shia, a very fine, edler boy. The Rav had him pegged as a philosopher. Every time he raised his hand, the Rav would say to him, "No philosophy." Poor guy. But yet, out of Shia, and especially in public lectures, which he gave annually before Pesach and other times during the year, he wore a different hat. All of a sudden, he became a philosopher. And we, the Talmidim, would often sit there in the audience and like our eyes would open up because we saw a whole different part of dimension of Rav Soloveitchik's personality. And there was one occasion in which the Rav gave a shir in honor of the Haggadah and Pesach, and he focused the entire shir for 4 hours, I think it went on Avodim Ayinu Lefarav B'Mitzrayim Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham, and most of the shir was about Avodim Ayinu. Now, there's a branch of Torah study, so to speak, which is becoming a little bit more popular, which is called the philosophy of halacha. And again, I'm a little bit familiar with the Rav's writings. I'm not the final authority. But it's really, really rare. You could probably count on one hand when the Rav gives a presentation of the philosophy of halacha. And this is one of the most profound examples. Because the Rav takes apart Avdus, and he points out that there are three fundamental halachas in Avdus, and then he philosophizes on all these three halachas. The first halacha is that an eved is pasul yedus, we don't rely on his testimony. The second halacha is that an eid echad is asur bibas Yisrael, he cannot marry a Jewish woman. And the third halacha is that an eved is patur from mitzvah saseh shazman grom. And the Rav, in a very, very unique style, you know, I took some courses in psychology in my day, but this is mamish brilliant, a psychological analysis of the emotional makeup, the psyche of an eved. And he shows you why on this night we are demonstrating ourselves as B'nai Chorin, and we're acting out the exact opposite of what it means to be an Eved. And he wants to answer these three questions almost like the Rambam in the Moral and Nevuchim would have done. Guide for the perplexed, why are these three halachos mandated by the Torah? Why is an Eved, the first question, excluded from testimony? Now, I don't know if this name will ring a bell to you. Rav Avram Bezdin, may rest in peace. We owe him a great debt of gratitude. He transcribed these lectures and he published them. And when I read this piece about Avdus, it was like reading it for the first time, even though I had heard it, but so many years had gone by, it was all like vague in my mind. I just remembered that the Rav gave such a presentation, but the details I didn't remember. Now, the Rav did not publish this. Anyone who knows the obsession, or whatever word you want to use, of the Soloveitchik dynasty knows that they don't publish much, because they always feel they have to perfect it and improvise it. The Rav used to tell us about his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that he rewrote his Chidushim on the Rambam 6 times. Unfortunately, we don't have the first 5. He says the first 5 were a lot easier to understand than the 6th, because Reb Chaim would always cross out. He wanted to make it shorter and shorter, more abridged and more concise. Anyway, so I can't tell you that the presentation that we have here is exactly, you know, with the Rav's signature, with Rav's approval. Because I think he would have, if he would publish it at all, he would have published it a little differently. But it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, just its literary presentation is amazing. Now, I'm not going to take the last 5 minutes of this shiur and read this to you. But if anyone's interested, you know, send me an email. I'll tell you where to find it. It is really a piece of literature, a piece of psychological literature. Very powerful. But I'm just going to summarize what I think are the main highlights. I'm giving you about 10% of what the Rav has to say on why an Eved is posul yedus, the philosophy of halacha. And he gives two answers, and he more or less integrates them. The first answer is that an Eved has an impaired ability to make judgments. He does not see reality the same way we see reality. He doesn't have the same power of discernment because he never develops this quality, because he never takes what the Rav calls judgmental initiatives. A free man is constantly challenged to take the initiative, to break out of mores, to be what we called yesterday a guttle, and be original. But he's restricted. He doesn't have a broad scope of choices. So he never really develops the sense of perception. He never gets a developed ability to take judgmental initiatives. And here's the punchline of the Rav, that to render testimony, which would be trustworthy, requires exercising discernment, awareness of nuances, keenness of perception, and a breadth of judgment. All of which, all these qualifications, are lacking in the case of an Eved. Again, as I said at the outset, the Rav didn't publish this. This was a public lecture that he gave. Could be, I don't know, that the Rav might have wondered exactly what is the nature of Eidus. Obviously, Eidus requires perception, but is it really so? I mean, this is a basic fundamental chakira, whether Eidus requires judgment. The judgment is left to the Bezdin, to the judges. The Eidim are there to play one role. And that is to bring the facts of the case to the court. But Rav Soloveitchik in this presentation assumes, A, that we need judgment in order to give testimony, and secondly, that the slave develops what he calls illusionary perceptions of reality. They're not objective. And he says that that slaves have a tendency to develop illusions, and he gives various examples of this. The second reason why an Eved is possibly Eidus is because of what he calls anxiety. Not that his conception of truth is distorted, but he lives in a perpetual state of intimidation and anxiety. Even when there's no threat, he feels threatened. He's always subject to the will of his master, and he's always intimidated. He's in a state of perpetual tension. He's aware that any moment he'd be subjective to different directives from his master. He intuitively, therefore, desists from ever contradicting his master. He's in fear of provoking the master's anger. And he gives the example of inmates in concentration camps that reported that they grew docile and submissive. They were always fearful of making any personal decisions. They were totally passive because they were in a state of neurotic fear. And he gives a quote from the Tochacha that Hashem tells us that at the time of the terrible Tochacha, and this is in Dvarim Perikov Dalet, it says, the life you face shall be precarious, you shall be in terror night and day. No assurance of survival. That's the state of terror. And the Rav goes on to say that in that state of terror, that you're not relaxed, you cannot give Eidus. Only a free man could testify. And that's why this night we have the mitzvah of Heseba, because we want to demonstrate that we are liberated from slavery. We feel totally relaxed, relieved from tension and anxiety. I don't know about this year, I don't know, I'm very scared. But he says, leaning is the antithesis of standing at attention. You know, like a chayal, when he stands at attention, you know, he's very afraid. You know, he doesn't want to move to the left or to the right. He doesn't want, you know, the terrible punishments here. But leaning is an expression of independence and fearlessness. And that's our status of me. Avdus l'cheres, we are free men. But he who lives in tension cannot give testimony. We don't know whether or not his testimony is perhaps a result of some sort of fear. You know, someone's threatening him or who knows what. So that's section number one. The next two sections we don't have time for to answer the second question, why an Eved is potter from mitzvah seishas mein groma, and why an Eved is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He's excluded from Jewish family. And all this to explain what Geula is about, and the mitzvahs halayla, and the Kiddush, and the Dalet Kosos, and Haseba, etc., etc. So again, I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining me tonight. I didn't know if there would be anyone here tonight. I wasn't sure. You know, I wasn't getting any responses. But I figured, all right, I'll prepare just in case. And I was glad to see all you fellas.